Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Today, Pentecost Sunday. Now, most of us who are familiar with Pentecost in the book of Acts, when we hear Pentecost Sunday, our mind goes to that. And that's not wrong, but Pentecost started long before the outpouring of God's Spirit and the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that we find in Acts chapter 2. You see, amongst Jewish people, they have all these feasts, and I'm not going to talk about all the details of the feasts in this feast, but there's a feast that we would translate to Pentecost, okay? And it's the Feast of Weeks, and there was fasting involved and all of this, but when you get to the feast of Shavuot, however you want to pronounce it, some of you are more efficient with Hebrew than me, so just forgive me. I am a Gentile saved by grace and don't speak fluent Hebrew. So this feast, which is about 50 days after Passover, or what you and I would know as Good Friday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, right? And so about 50 days later, which moves us into the month of June, okay, would be in ancient biblical times the first harvest of wheat. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, there was a little transformation that happened amongst the Hebrew people. They still remember this feast and and Pentecost, Penta, 50. That's where you get it, 50, the number 50. So there was a time where Moses gave the law. You remember that, right? Because you've seen the Ten Commandments. I have to ask it. Has anyone here never seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Raise your hand. I don't care if you're visiting or if you come here all the time. Anybody who's not seen that movie? Okay. Raise your hands nice and high. You have homework. Okay. Oh, the special effects are phenomenal for back then. Okay. So, anyhow, I'll just tell you, I don't want to be sacrilegious and tell you that you can eat popcorn during the Ten Commandments. But if you are, make sure it's a big bowl because it's a long movie. Okay, back when Moses gave the law, many from that point on, they equate Pentecost with that event of giving the law. Now, it's not to confuse you. I'm just giving you a little bit of history that you, if you're a Pentecostal person, we think of the book of Acts, and it's not wrong, but there's a history with Jewish people, that the Hebrew people, long before that, that Pentecost was known, and it has to do with first fruits, okay? The first harvest of wheat, okay? In the month of what we know as June, okay? It would be a time after the rains have stopped so that they could go harvest the wheat. Okay? And by the way, when it rained in what we know as June at harvest time for the wheat for them, they took that and understood it as that was a great judgment of God upon the people because they've been living in rebellion with him, that they could not get their first fruits and get them out of the field. And so different ways that God spoke to them and that they understood. So interesting thing that Pentecost has to do with first fruits. Now, New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 2, okay? That's where we're going to go. Because, and the reason is, well, because we know it is the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended, but understand this, that it's 50 days after, you know, the resurrection, and it's Pentecost, a time for first fruits, right? harvest. Do you know what happens on the day of Pentecost for the church? It starts. 3,000 people converted to follow Christ on that day. It was a great day of harvest. So God did all this. He put all this together. It's things that we can read and maybe know and don't piece together, but understand the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was about first fruits. It was about harvest. And God was sending a message by the outpouring of His Spirit that He would do it on this particular day. And that 3,000 people, about 3,000 people, okay, imagine this now, about a third of this city, who none of them really followed God, all of a sudden a third of this city converted to follow Christ. I can tell that excites you. Sarcasm is a way of communicating, by the way. It's not the highest form, but it is one of the ways to communicate. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures this morning and maybe a little less preaching and a lot of scriptures, and we're going to let God throw some additional things in here, hopefully through my mouth. When the day of Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, the believers, the followers, not just the disciples, not just those who we were going to know as the apostles, but His followers. They were instructed by Jesus to stay in the city until the baptism of the Spirit came with power. So we'll look at that in reference a little bit later. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Something that they weren't used to, something that they weren't familiar with. But this is what they heard. This is what they felt. This is what they saw. Who were all together in that room praying, seeking the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do they know that? That hasn't happened before. But this is what Dr. Luke writes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and recording some of the history of what went on so we get to glean from it, okay? And so he writes, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Say other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave it to them? Spirit. Now, it's the same Spirit that was there that hovered over the earth in the beginning, or hovered over what didn't exist, all right? Creation, way back. It's the same Spirit that anointed people in the Old Testament, gave them power at moments. It's the same Spirit. The Spirit was not outpoured in a baptism like Jesus talked about. He said He had to go to the Father first, right? So the Holy Spirit could come in this way and fulfill the promise that the Father in heaven made. There's scripture verses for all of this. Okay? So here it is. Jesus ascended, gives them instruction. They're going and praying every day. And this is what happens on the day of Pentecost, the day of first fruits. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them who were in the prayer room, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to hear them speak, some of them speak in their language. In other words, they got visitors in town. Out-of-town visitors. Some of them speak multiple languages. Some of them just speak their native language. Well, they're visiting here in Jerusalem. And now they're looking at these Galileans, those from this area, and they are speaking the guests' native language, who are from somewhere else. This is quite a phenomenon. And this sound, the multitude came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak to his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them speaking in our native language?" And they go on and they list the places that they're from. Okay? Goes on, "We hear them telling in our own language, our tongue, the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Now, how many of you, you've heard other people speak language, different languages than you? Yeah. Some of them languages, you might be bilingual or know 3-4 languages. But by and large, you know, white rural America, for the most part, we speak one language. We're just turn to the person next to you and say, "Accept it, you're bland." Okay? You accept it, you're bland. Okay? All right? But you've heard other languages. Some of you have traveled to places. It's interesting when you go and travel internationally and all of a sudden you hear someone speak English, right? You go, "Hey, be my new friend." You know? "I'm over here, I don't know what's going on, I can't read the signs," all of those things. "And I need help." So here they are, they're visiting from a variety of places, you can read it there. And they hear these Galileans speaking their language. This was perplexing to them. Okay, what's this mean? What is going on? Okay, so God does these signs, and the result is that these who were praying began to speak in tongue, another language. Okay? We sometimes get weirded out at the term tongue or new tongues or tongues. It just means another language, okay? And so they began to speak in another language, and in the language they were speaking, all these languages, they were declaring how great God is and how wonderful his works are. And so these visitors who are here in their native language come out of Galileans. They're shocked. They're perplexed. What is going on? What does this mean? And it also says that, "But others were mocking, saying, 'They are filled with new wine.'" In other words, they're babbling. We don't understand them. By the way, that was the locals. Others, not the visitors, the others, those who are there who are from town. We don't understand them. We don't know what they're just babbling. They're drunk on new wine. Now, those who were local, they've heard people speak in other languages. I mean, Jerusalem, you know, they had people coming and going. It says they had new wine. I want you to know, amongst the signs and all of this and this being filled with the Spirit at this moment, there were some other things going on that may have indicated that it would appear that they have had new wine. Because when you hear somebody speak a different language than what you know, do you just assume they're drunk? Of course not. But if other characteristics go along with it, you might assume, yeah, they just can't hold their liquor. Can you say that from the pulpit? That's what they said. They mocked them. They said, this is nonsense. And yet others from out of town were going, no, wait a minute. I know what they're saying. What does this mean? They're declaring God's works. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. Remember him? Weren't you with Jesus? Oh, no, that wasn't me, right? Denied Jesus 3 times. and he heard the rooster crow. Now look at him. He just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's hearing what the crowd is buzzing about and the different opinions of what's going on. He stands up. He addresses them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words, for those people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered to the prophet Joel." And he goes and he begins to reference and quote the prophecy of Joel about God sending an outpouring of his spirit upon all people, male and female, young and old, it didn't matter what nationality, all people. It says in the prophecy, and you can read it there. I'm going to try to save a little bit of time. And he goes on, and he says, "Hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders, signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Jesus is more powerful than death. Okay, that's where you're supposed to go. Okay. Because all of you are going to experience it unless he comes back. We all have our turn at it. So, yeah, you better realize it and say, you know, it'd be really nice to have a Savior. Just a thought. He goes on, and he goes through this. And he continues to work his way through this passage and understand that this is about 3,000 who convert. It's about a day of power. There was such power of the Spirit that went out into his believers and through Peter, there's such a power, a brand new power that they never had before. Okay, it was a baptism of power that brought about first fruits. 3,000 people, let's do it in Christianese terms so you get the idea. 3,000 people came and flooded the altar to give their life to Jesus Christ. We'll put it in our context so you can grasp what's going on. He's addressing the crowd. They ask, what's this mean? What are we supposed to do? And Peter tells them, repent, be baptized. He gives them instruction. He says, this which you think is some great phenomena or you're mocking, he says, this is the baptism, the filling of the Spirit that comes to a believer's life. It's a baptism of power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says it. Okay, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other utter parts of the earth, the unknown places, all around the globe. He says, this is the power that you need. You wait here until you receive it. And Jesus spoke about it in other contexts, and I'm going to give you other verses here in just a minute so that you can just understand that this isn't about a man's opinion who stands up here before you. That what I'm preaching to you is not just because it's Assemblies of God where I hold my credentials with that fellowship as an ordained minister. This isn't about whether it's Pentecostal or it isn't. This isn't about whether it is Baptist or not Baptist, or if it's Presbyterian or it's not Presbyterian, or you can throw any Protestant, Catholic, you could throw any religion like that that proclaims Christ in some form. This is about what is in the Scripture. This is what is about in His Word, our Bible. This is Pentecost Sunday because when we look back in history, this is when it falls. From Good Friday, Passover, Easter. And what's the history? Put away your denomination for a moment and approach this as the Word of God. And let it somehow wipe away from your mind the things that you have learned, whether it was pro or con, about the speaking in tongues or the baptism of power. Put it aside for a moment. You can go back to it if you want. I'm not telling you just forget it. I'm just saying, put it aside for a moment for this sake, that you could approach this without our baggage, without our assumptions or presumptions. Approach this as the pure word of God as it is. Look at it as a letter from heaven of what went on here on earth before our time. And what does it mean for me today? The baptism of power. The initial physical evidence that they were baptized is that they spoke in tongues. Now, there were other signs that went on before that, right? Wind, cloven tongues of fire resting on you. There were signs. But the initial physical sign that brought transformation and change to those who were followers of Jesus, that was that this baptism of power came, was that it says that they spoke in tongues. That was the initial physical thing that said, hey, how do I know I was filled? I just started speaking a language I don't know. Because that is outside the norm. Okay? Unless you're like 2 years old or 3 years old. And you just, you know, make stuff up and, you know, you're a kid, right? This is what happened. What were the first, that was the first sign and the first fruit of this power, because understand that the baptism of power is not about the believer speaking in tongues. The baptism of power is so that we have power of the Spirit that goes beyond our power, our gifting, our talent, our skill, our influence, a power that comes from Him through us to bring about great fruit. That's what this is about. You and I make it about tongues because it's out of the norm. And the other part is this. I want to come up with every excuse possible not to do that. Because it's not normal from my perspective as a human. I mean, we say we want to yield ourselves fully over to God, right? Oh, we worship, we raise our hands. Oh, God, just fill me. Oh, God, just take over my life. Oh, God, I want to be close to you. Oh, God, I want to honor you. Until it comes to something like this. I mean, it's one thing to go through transformation from being a thief to no longer stealing. We're comfortable with that because that's just a conduct thing. It's an attitude thing, a conduct thing that's done inside, right? And then people get to observe that we're better than what we used to be. Ta-da! You know, Jesus did it. We're comfortable with that. But now God taken over your mouth and you cooperate. I just like not being a thief anymore. I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. I don't need to do that. I still go to church. I still pray. God still hears me. I don't need that. That could make me look very foolish in my eyes. And I would think in the eyes of other people. And so we come from that perspective, and now we make that our theology, and we make that which was pure at one point to us, now we corrupt it because I'm not comfortable with it. And we can do this in other areas. You can be Pentecostal and believe in the day of Pentecost, and you can doctor up God's word somewhere else to justify what you want to think or what you feel or what you've observed because, you know, after all, you're smarter. You see, Paul writes it in different places in Corinthians. He says, listen, the spirit of the world, they will never understand. They'll never receive this because they're carnal. But when we are transformed from that mindset into fellowship with God, we are supposed to receive the things of God's word and what God does in his word and will in our life. And we have to change to do that. I guess the thing is, you know, at what point will I'll say we, but I'm going to include me. Are we going to stop resisting what's really in the pages and what has to do with submitting ourselves to him and coming into relationship with him? When are we going to get to that point? Remove the denominational thing. Just the purity of God's word. It's about a baptism of power. The first fruits, or the fruit in our life that we're supposed to bear, is supposed to be power to be very fruitful in our life. The sign that the baptism happened is that we speak in tongues. That's the initial physical response. And it's not an isolated incident. You can look throughout the book of Acts, and I'll reference some of these. Acts chapter 1, now going back at chapter verse 5, it says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's what Jesus told him. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes this, verse 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. The first part of verse 18 says, don't be drunk on wine or those things, but rather be full of the Spirit. In other words, in your carnal mind, you understand what it is to be under the influence of wine. He says, don't do that. Rather, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like to see the state trooper take you to court for that one. They were driving down the road. They were under the influence, but not of some narcotic. They was just under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Take that one to court. Okay. Anyhow. Acts 1:4, he says, wait in Jerusalem, wait for what the Father promised. Say promised. Luke 11, Matthew 7, it talks about this promise. It talks about the promise of the Father. He says, listen, you who are evil, in other words, human fathers, because we're evil, we sin. He says, but even you evil fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. They ask for something, you pay attention, you get it for their birthday, or you just buy it, or you know that, you know, their child needs this, or they want this. And so you know how to give good gifts to the best you can with your resource to your children. Even though you're sinful, I'm sinful, we know how to give good gifts to our children. And Jesus goes on and he explains, he says, how much more than your perfect Father in heaven, he's not evil. He's not flawed. Now, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your Father in heaven, who's perfect, knows how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Don't say it with a question. Ask. Say it. Ask. He knows how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. This is what Jesus taught. Who is revealing the Father in his heart to humanity. That's why he came. If we look at Luke 24:49, it says, Jesus speaking, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. That sounds interesting. Doesn't you ever hear those words before? And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Holy Spirit filled them. Listen, Jesus is already saying before he, you know, meets with them the final time and ascends, he tells them, listen, the Father's promise, he has a promise. The Father's promise. He talks about the Father, you know, the promise, the Holy Spirit. He promised. God is a keeper of promises. This is what he wants to do. He inspired his prophet Joel. It travels. The message travels through time. Peter does it on the day of Pentecost because it is being fulfilled. And this is this marvelous history we get to learn from, glean from, arrest ourselves with, even make ourselves uncomfortable with what's written and what has been presented to us. That can challenge us, that can make us uncomfortable. Listen, it's just one of many things that have made me uncomfortable that I have read in here. But as I grow and trust and obey, and the Holy Spirit, you know, shows grace and mercy and helps me along, less of it sounds strange to me. Less of it I reject. The less of it I resist. And the more of it I receive. And the more I get to experience him and his wisdom, because his ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways. It says, but stay in Jerusalem, the city, until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 2:4, it says they were filled. They spoke. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. One who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but speaks to God. So when you speak in tongues, who are you talking to? God. So if you hear somebody speak in tongues, they're not talking to you. So mind your own business. How many of you have never heard anybody speak in tongues? You can put your hand up. It's okay. I was there. All of you. Oh, some of you haven't. Okay. Would you like to? You won't understand it because I'm not talking to you. I'll talk to God. Okay? Now, when you are filled with Holy Spirit and given this language, it's not like this one-time experience. Oh, it happened. It's over. I'm done. I did it once. You see, the Scripture says this, that the Spirit of God is subject to the prophet. In other words, the Spirit of God will not operate through a person if they say no. If they say yes, then the Spirit can move through them. So I'm going to speak in tongues for you, okay? It's not a display. I'm just going to, you've never heard it. And languages vary. He gave different languages. Remember Acts chapter 2? They were from all over the place, and some of them heard this language, and some of them heard their language, and some others heard their language, okay? I'm just going to do it. It's going to sound like you don't understand it, because you don't. And I'm not talking to you, so you don't need to worry about it. Ishta talarosa tajiarane keche. Ishialandonto salabike, ishialandose talabarieke, ashiarandorosai. Paul says he prays with his understanding, in other words, with his native language. For me, it would be English. I pray to God, I understand what I'm saying to him. And then Paul says that he also prays without understanding, he prays in the Spirit. That language that he was given, that tongues he was given, because he talks to God in it. So when I said that, when I was talking to God just now, I don't know what I said. And you think, well, what's the point? Here's the point, that the Spirit is praying through me. And the Spirit prays perfect prayers. You and I, in our own language, we don't always pray perfect prayers. It's contaminated by our attitude, our will, right? Our limited vocabulary. How do we put this phrase together? I'm trying to communicate what I think and feel, but I can't quite do. See, so there's hindrance. So Paul says, I pray with my understanding, but I also pray without my understanding. And he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. It means he's just talking to God a whole lot, unhindered, perfect prayers of the Spirit, because the Scripture says that the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. So if the Spirit is praying through us and it knows the mind of God, we are praying perfectly the will of God. And I'm not in the way. It's one of these beautiful benefits of being baptized in the Holy Spirit for the power of ministry, but also to pray perfect prayers. And also when that happens, we get edified, we get built up. The Spirit is just moving through our life. So now you've heard somebody, and you didn't even run out of here with your hair on fire. It is going to sound strange to you. The whole idea, you might be hearing this for the first time, but understand why humanity and many fellowships or denominations don't really dive in and preach this, because it invokes a real change, a real submission, a something that's out of the norm. We see people change. They go from, you know, bad to worse, or bad to better, or better to good, or good to X. We see those things and we admire them. And they're, well, this half we admire, the other, eh. But, you know, we can see that and, oh, that's great. But this kind of thing, what a convenient excuse to say, well, you know, that was for then. It's not for now. That's a whole, I'm not going to let that happen in my life. That's strange. That's different to me. I have a carnal mind. I don't have a carnal mind. I go to church and I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach salvation. That's good. No one's stopping you. Do it. I'm just telling you that Jesus ascended so the Spirit could come into our life to make us fruitful, that others would come to know Him, and they would be baptized, the baptism of John and repentance, water baptism, but they would be also baptized in the Spirit, a Spirit of power. It's the same Spirit that gives us utterance in our life. It's the same Spirit that wrote, inspired this word. It's the same Spirit that already convicts you and I of sin. It's the same Spirit that brings encouragement to us, to you, when He talks to you and encourages you to do something, or, hey, way to go, or, see, look, open your eyes, you're changing, we're doing this together. It's the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit. Acts chapter 2, why Peter is preaching this great sermon and 3,000 people get converted. He says this. Now listen to this. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise," now remember, this is the Father's promise, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of power. How do we know it showed up? I spoke in tongues. That was an initial physical thing. And after that, there were other signs, and ministry of Jesus goes on with power to be fruitful. But he says this, for this promise, it's for you. He's talking to the crowd. He says, it's for you. Were you in that crowd? I wasn't. So I don't know that it's for me yet. And then he says, and it's for your children. Well, I'm not one of the kids of the parent who was there. And then it says this, and it's for all who are far off. That's me. That's me. I'm down the road. From then to now, I was far off. I know some of you are thinking, you're far off. Not that kind of far off. Listen, and for all who are far off into the future, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Who's this baptism of power for? It's for everyone. And why is it for everyone? So that you would bear much fruit. Jesus talked about fruit a lot. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. He wants the marriage supper of the Lamb. He wants that place filled. My kids, my friends, my neighbors, strangers, my community, the people. That's why we send missionaries. It's why we support them. It's why we give them money. It's why we do these things and give it away so that they can go where we can't. And they go with the power of the Spirit to be fruitful because God loves people. I'm so grateful in my life when I look back to the night that I was converted. I decided to follow Jesus, to forgive me. I believe in you. You're the Son of God. You're my Savior. That conversion, get saved moment. I am so glad that he sent someone who was baptized in this kind of power so that when he spoke to me, it brought fruit. Because I've had others tell me about this before then. And there was a difference. It brought fruit. There was power. It brought conviction. It brought, I gotta deal with this. This is my experience. This is what's happening. All based out of his word. Acts chapter 19 is about the Apostle Paul. Now, this isn't on the day of Pentecost. This is afterwards. This is for other people. Acts 19 talks about Paul. He's going and he's preaching and he comes across some believers, 12 guys. And he says, you know, basically, are you Christians? Yeah, we believe. What baptism did you receive? They said the baptism of John, which had to do with the baptism of repentance. Remember John the Baptist? Repent, be baptized. Peter talked about it in Acts chapter 2. Jesus himself was water baptized. So we understand it's about, I'm putting faith in God. I want my old self to die. I want to be raised new to life as a new person, born again, believing and following Jesus. That's the baptism they said they received. And he says, so you didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they're like looking at each other and going, we didn't even hear there is a Holy Spirit. We didn't know. There's a Holy Spirit? Paul says, oh yeah. I'm paraphrasing. But you know, this is the Randy version. Oh yeah. And he tells them, and then he lays hands on them. Prays for them. Just lays hands on them. Going down the row. There's 12 of them. Maybe they were in a circle. However it was. Laid hands on them. And it says they began to, let's see, let's guess. What do you think? What do you think happened? They began to speak in tongues. Because at that moment, they were filled, baptized with power. And the physical evidence is that they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. They weren't there on the day of Pentecost. They were a little down the road. They were somewhere else. I brought this to look at it. Oh, boy. Stupid thing. The time's wrong. All right. I'm going to jump to this. All right. Acts chapter 10. This is really cool stuff. If you're not familiar with the Holy Spirit, and if you are, it's really cool anyhow. Okay, so Acts chapter 10. Boy, I wrote down the wrong chapter. This is really cool. Anyhow, this is what's happening in Acts, all right? You can look up the chapter. I should just probably find it to be diligent. It's just this taking me a moment, you know. I wrote down the wrong chapter, and Randy, what are you doing? You know, it's just another one of those mistakes I make. Okay. No, it is Acts chapter 10. I was in the wrong chapter. If you didn't understand any of that, don't worry about it, okay? All right? Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit falls. It says, that's the title it gives, falls or comes upon or comes down on or into. the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Okay, this is just so great. Because remember, Joel chapter 2 talks about, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Men, women, doesn't matter where you're from, what side of the tracks, doesn't matter your nationality, you know. Okay, I was going to say some other stuff, but I'm going to let it go. While Peter was still saying these things, he's preaching, he's teaching to the Gentiles, okay? Now watch this. This is so cool. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard God's word. What do you think happened? Okay. And the believers from among the circumcised, in other words, other Jewish people, who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Well, how do we know it was tongues? Well, let me finish reading. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, can we stop them from being water baptized? In other words, the gospel's come to the Gentiles, and it came in a different order than what we're used to. We're used to repent, get water baptized, and then get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Here, you know what's happening with the Gentiles? The word of God's going out. The Spirit is at work. And I don't want to say the Spirit was going, Peter, hurry it up. Kind of like what he does to me every once in a while. Randy, you need to wrap this up, man. Okay. He says, I'm just going to come upon these Gentiles and fill them and they can speak in tongues. And that's what happens, why Peter's preaching and teaching. And then the other Jewish believers are Peter going, hey, we need to huddle. Look at what happened here. The Gentiles have received the Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. Is there any reason we shouldn't probably get them baptized now in water? It was just so cool. You ever been in a meeting like that? That while the preaching of the Word was going on, miracles and the Holy Spirit was starting to happen in people's lives? I've been in those meetings. I've had the privilege of preaching some of those meetings. It was like, you really don't need me, do you? Right? Isn't that great? God just shows up and he starts doing this. Hey, listen, this is who he is. This is what his word says. It sounds strange to our human reason and our human ears. But I'm telling you, there's great purpose in it. Because God is not about folly. He's about fun. He's about impacting lives. He's about fruit. I want you to know that the day of the baptism of power, I will tell you, needs to return to God's people. And that we're not just praying in tongues, but that we are moving in power. And I'll tell you this, you tongue-talking people who are here, your tongues mean nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they mean nothing unless you love people. That's what Paul writes. He says, if you can speak in tongues all you want, but if you don't love people, you don't have character, you don't have fruits of the Holy Spirit, then you know what? Your tongues don't mean anything. God's not listening to you. You're talking to him in the language, but he's not listening to you. That's what that means. You're just a gong, a cymbal. It's just noise. Well, don't fool yourself. And you can't get away with saying, see, the fruits are more important than the baptism of the Spirit, than the spiritual gifts. It's the, listen, why is it either or? Where did we get off on, well, the fruits of the Spirit are more important than the gifts of the Spirit? No, we're Pentecostal, the gifts of power, and then you don't have any character. And over here, you got a bunch of character, but you don't have any of the power. That's supposed to be one camp, not two.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.